is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 233 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We have a fantastic episode for you tonight. We're going to be going over the remainder of the Prophecy weapons. You'll recall that last week we kind of slid the rapid-fire pulse rifles in front of Prophecy, and we actually covered Darkest Before. For some reason, I want to say Darkest Below, like the old D1 DLC, but we covered Darkest Before as part of that, so now this week we're going to cover the remaining five Prophecy weapons. We've got an auto rifle, a sidearm, we have a shotgun, a sniper rifle, and a hand cannon. We're going to be talking about all those, but first let's go ahead and get the introduction out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercury, joined tonight by Kit Kutcha. How are you doing this evening, Kit?
I'm feeling pretty good this evening, I have to say. It's been a productive week, gotten a lot done. I'm finally getting caught up on everything in life and getting, therefore, starting to get caught up on some video gaming that I had let slide. So, yeah, enjoying Festival of Lost quite a bit. I like the headless ones, and I just wish Jurassic Green was better. But that's okay. How about you, man?
Yeah, it's been a fun week for me. First real week post-audit at my job. I played a good bit of Trials last weekend. I'm really looking forward to Freelance Trials this weekend. Definitely going to give that a shot.
For sure.
And yeah, been playing the heck out of Festival of the Lost too. Honestly, after the little bug that came out today where it decreased the pages that you get from public events and stuff like that, I'm pretty happy I already got all the stuff done. I already got all the lore unlocked, all the pages done. I've run my 20 Haunted Lost Sectors. It's probably the most I've ever played Festival of the Lost. It's never really been one of my favorite events, and they've never really had a gun that I absolutely had to get my hands on. I did want a good Jurassic Green. I have yet to get the good range runner roll that we talked about last week, which is unfortunate, yep, but I have a couple of okay ones. So, you know, if I really wanted to, I could make use of it. But the problem is I've just already got such great grid skippers that it's like, do I really need it though?
I feel obligated just to come out and state that I have now come to terms with just how badly I underestimated the Time Warren Spire with an iron grip rifle scope roll. So I took I've got rifle scope SSF, ricochet rounds, slideways, which I wish was moving target, but you know, I'll take it because I also have iron grip. This thing reloads like molasses, but I definitely made somebody with Messenger question their life choices on PC of all places.
Ooh.
So dirty. Yeah, it's real tasty. Like, and it's a range masterwork too. I haven't even masterworked it yet. It's just 46 range with 2.2 zoom, and Messenger was eating it. So
we told you last week, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah.
I saw you posting about it in Discord today. So
I thought, okay, that makes sense. I can see why that would be good. But the intellectual knowledge and the emotional impact, we're not the same. So yeah, it's good. Anyway, we should get into the housekeeping. I just felt like I needed to make a personal correction to my opinion from last episode.
Well, you heard it here first, guys. If you happen to have a role like that, max zoom, basically max stability as close as you can get, it will be quite good. A lot better than most people suspect.
Decent range. It just has to have, you know, it's got 46 right now. I'm going to masterwork it. It'll be over 50. It'll be ridiculous. But if it's in the 40s, I think you're A-okay.
Yeah. Nice. Well, housekeeping. How's the Patreon stuff looking?
So we had a great week. A lot of support from the patrons, as always. I do just want to give a shout out to everybody who contributes in the Discord, both inside and outside of the Secret Patrons Lounge channel. Discord has been hopping lately. Some good conversations going. I had a great back and forth with somebody over a fairly divisive topic in the Destiny community, as so many topics can be. We didn't change each other's minds, but we did have a good debate about it and left it respectfully, and so that was fantastic. And Patrons Lounge has been just super hopping with all kinds of great stuff. So I love to see that. Thank you, everyone who jumps in and just says hi even in there.
Just recently, a lot of Star Wars discussion.
Yeah.
Talking about the science behind hyperdrives and hyperspace and how it's actually possible that Holdo pulled off her famed maneuver and destroyed the Star Destroyer, is it, that she plows through? Regardless, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
A lot of discussion about that, a lot of discussion about whether J.J. Abrams was the right person to follow up with the sequel trilogy post Rian Johnson and Rian Johnson, and just a lot of really good, a lot of fun talk, and a couple of people, it seems, have embraced the well Boots of the Assembler and Powering Rift build that I've been discussing. Went flawless with it again this week, me and Draw Breath, becoming quite the pair. Yeah, it's we actually ran it with Cool Guy last night. We were playing a little bit of five-man control, a couple of the clan mates and Cool Guy and his buddy Jingle, and it was a pretty good time too. it was really, really fun. So yeah, maybe it'll catch on one day. I kind of hope it doesn't.
Yeah, that sounds pretty toxic, but you know what isn't toxic is the love that we're getting from the patrons right now. So big shout out to our three new patrons this week. Dingle, thank you so much for joining us. That's Dingle with two eyes, just to be specific here.
Been very active in the Discord so far.
We've got Swine Flu coming in with a pledge. So
interesting.
Thank you to Swine Flu. I think that is got to be 50% of the motivation for choosing that name. So I'm gonna lean into it. And thank you so much to GS, who I've also seen active in the Discord.
GS has been in the Discord for a long time.
Yeah.
Just recently became a patron. I actually saw his flare change color while I was in conversation with him. I like went back and did a double take. I was like, hold on, man, is his flare yellow now? And then I saw him in the patron times. I was like, oh, welcome.
That's awesome. That's perfect timing right there. So Swineflu, I haven't seen you in the Discord yet. I hope we do. If it's not your thing, that's totally fine. We just appreciate your support. Thank you so much. That brings us to another group of Guardians that we like to say thank you to. I'm using the term Guardians unironically here. I've heard apparently that some people look down on that, but I think it's an awesome thing to be. And these Guardians are awesome people, incredibly generous to the podcast, to us. And so just as human beings, as Guardians, I really appreciate what they're doing. So this week, I decided to use random.org to truly randomize the list just for kicks. So literally in no particular order, thank you so much to Blackhammer Tech, Askian Monk, Zenso Cal, Conquer King 420, Starscream S13, Deacon, Binary Wolf, A Solitary Bird, and The Shazzle. Thank you so much. If you see these Guardians in the Discord or online out in the wild in Destiny, please give them a shout out, say hi, show some love. They are incredibly generous to the podcast, as are all of our ongoing patrons who give generously every month to support the content that is coming into your ears right now. So very much just want to remind you, as we do every week, to, give them a high five virtually. Anytime you see them. All right, over to you with another group of Guardians that we deeply appreciate.
Yeah. I also do want to say, like, you guys don't underestimate how much your pledging and your support actually like motivates us to make sure that we stay on top of our game. Like, I know that it's not a requirement or anything like that, and people have said that, but the fact that we have so many people supporting us monetarily, like, I have like a driver, I'm like, we cannot let these people down now. Like,
yeah,
we have to produce on a schedule. We have to produce high quality. We have to produce numerous. Like, we have a lot of people supporting us. And so it's like, we want 6 episodes a month minimum, like every Thursday that we can possibly do it, releasing on a schedule Friday morning so people can count on it, releasing Beneath Twin Suns, you know, twice a month or sometimes 3 times a month on Monday morning so people can count on it. Like, I am so driven to get the sound quality better. Like, it really does make a huge difference that so many people are supporting. And we feel like because you're supporting, we want to live up to those expectations kind of and provide the best show possible and the best, you know, material possible and stuff like that. And even the best little community possible in the Discord. Like, it may sound kind of weird, but we work like pretty hard actually to try to keep the Discord nice and clean and fun and not cluttered and well organized and stuff like that. Actually about to do a role refresh in a little bit, because now it doesn't make sense to have Xbox and Stadia and, you know, PlayStation Guardian separate. So we're gonna clean that up in a little bit too.
Yep, absolutely. We do need to hop back on that train of getting some things updated in the Discord. But yeah, no, it's inspirational that people are taking that much away from the podcast every single week. So.
And second group of listeners here who we really, really, truly, deeply appreciate is the people who leave us reviews. You can leave us reviews basically on any place that you listen to the show. But Apple Podcast is the place that we collect them, we aggregate them from. So if you did leave us a review somewhere else, just don't hesitate to hit us up in Discord or Twitter or Reddit or wherever and send it to us, and we'll read it out too. But we got three reviews this week. One of them from America's Northern Hat, Canada. It is Love the Show, 5 stars. If you're a person who stares at your vault and inventory constantly at work, theorizing about how different perks and weapons will play together, this is the best show for you. Love it, you guys. Keep up the good work. That is from Thunder Bear. Thank you very much, Thunder Bear. We appreciate it. We are also the people who stare at our vault and weapons while we're at work, theorizing about how stuff works out. So seems like attracts like.
If I, you know, they have the counters out there for how much time you spend logged into Destiny. But what I need is a counter for how long I've spent logged into Dim. Because it's a significant amount of time. Might be longer. At least the last couple of years.
I mean, I think, when was it we were talking about this, where I was like, geez, we've got to have spent more time talking about and writing about Destiny than we've spent playing Destiny. And we have spent not an insignificant amount of time playing Destiny. So that's really saying something.
Yeah. It's competitive for sure.
All right, this next one is from Stain, who I've actually spoken to many times on Twitter. But he says, great podcast, 5 stars. This podcast is really one of a kind. Merc and Kutch know their stuff and will give you great advice backed up by a detailed breakdown of the numbers that make up this game we all love so much. I personally reached out to Merc on several occasions on Twitter. Well, there you go. Asking questions about loadouts or recommendations on guns or even builds for myself and my friends, and he always gets back to me and points me in the right direction. Thanks again, guys, and keep it up. This is the way, from Stain. Thank you very much for that. If, like he says, we are not quite so big that we cannot respond to pretty much anybody who messages us or comments us. So if you ever do have a question, don't just think about the question and be like, oh man, I wish that I had an answer for that. Don't hesitate. Like, you can just hit us up. You can tag us on Discord. You can hit me up on Twitter. Discord's actually probably the best way to get in contact with me. But like Stan says, he hits me up on Twitter all the time. And we're both more than happy to answer your questions. It might not be immediate because, unfortunately, we do have real life jobs that pay the bills, but we will get back to you.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. I love running into those questions because a lot of times people will ask a question that I haven't thought to ask myself yet. And it gets the brain turning in a new direction, which is a big part of what keeps Destiny fresh and exciting for me. So
it does. And then our last podcast for this week is excellent show, 5 stars. He says, very much enjoy the show. I love it when they break down the individual perks and what they actually do. Destiny 2 isn't the only topic they cover that I enjoy. However, the Star Wars episodes are excellent. I highly recommend the ongoing series on Star Wars Rebels. Give the show a chance next time. You need a little entertainment and knowledge. You won't be sorry. And that's from AshJ555. Thank you very much, AshJ. We appreciate it. And you know that anytime you mention Star Wars shows in our reviews, you get an extra special little thank you, because we appreciate that too. Because although we are technically a video game podcast, Beneath Twin Suns, I think, is a really, really fun show. And it seems like there's a pretty decent crossover between people who like Destiny and people who like Star Wars.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're both very much science fantasy franchises. So I think they fit together very well.
Very, very space westerny.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it for the housekeeping. Again, thank you to everybody who leaves us a review. We're happy to read them out. If you did leave a review internationally or somewhere else, it may take a little bit more time for us to get to them. The review aggregator is not lightning fast. It does not update in real time, unfortunately, but we will get there eventually. So I guess on to the main topic of conversation, we got the prophecy weapons. Prophecy obviously is a dungeon. And talking about the 9 earlier being our sponsors, they basically reprised the original Trials of the 9 weapons. Not all of them, unfortunately, but they brought back a fair mix of them. And they stuck them right into prophecy, which is really where they kind of belong right now anyways, because, you know, it's a Trials of the 9 themed dungeon. So
yep,
I guess we should start with the primaries. And that means what? You think we should start with
I feel like
Judgment and the Hand Cannon?
Yeah, I feel like we ought to dive right into the hand cannons. Hand cannons are always among the most popular types of weapons in Destiny. It's just, it's a space magic Western, you know, what are you going to do? So let's start at the top with Judgment.
Oh man, there are a lot of adaptive hand cannons in Destiny.
Yeah.
I know, granted, it's because they merged two archetypes together. They obviously got rid of the lightweight archetype. They combined them with the adaptive archetype. So you have a kind of weird dichotomy where you've got now two very distinct subclasses of adaptive archetype hand cannons. You know, you've got the ones that used to be the 150 RPMs, and you got the ones that are standardly the 140. This is the latter. It has always been a 140. 140s are pretty popular right now, but I feel like the legendaries are kind of led by the Adept Palindrome. And after that, there's a bit of a steep drop off for the other 140s. And there's so many exotic hand cannons right now that do different things that I feel like outside of Adept Palindrome, I don't see a ton of Judgments. I really just don't. I don't see it in PvP.
Yeah, the thing is that Palindrome just has the best stats, right? Just out of the box. It starts off better than the other guns. And that's, you know, what are you going to do, right? Yeah. It's got good Palindrome perks as well, and that makes it, and it's farmable, so makes it tough
Palindrome
to compete
like
with.
An almost better Ostringer, and Ostringer was very good. So if that gives you a comparison for stats, but here's what we can do. We can go head to head with it. So Judgment comes out of the box with 50 range. That's 5 under Palindrome. It comes out of the box with 48 stability, which is 14 under Palindrome. It also has 48 handling, which is about 7 under Palindrome. It has 46 reload speed, which, you know, Palindrome's at 48. I think the range for reload speeds on adaptives is not super high if you ignore those what used to be 150s.
Yep.
So if you ignore the ones that used to be 150s, it was like 44 was the low, 51 was the high. And 51's actually possessed by Ostringer and Fatebringer were the two that have that. But then you throw the old 150s in there, and now you've got ones that are going all the way up as high as, like, you know, 63 and stuff like that. So it kind of, you know, that's kind of the...
Skews it a bit.
I guess that's also the trade-off, right? Because all those handguns that used to be 150s have abysmal range and stability.
They do.
So you're kind of... But what it really ends up doing is, like, does anybody use those? I feel like almost nobody uses those. Because the benefits you get are you get better handling, reload speed, and aim assist, but you lose out on range and stability, which are arguably two of the most important stats for a hand cannon.
Depending on the meta, a well-rolled Dire Promise is just ridiculously easy to use. Right now, with pulse rifles pushing the range a bit, I think people are probably favoring Palindrome, so that they can compete at those better, at those longer ranges. You know, but there's also just a lot to like about Palindrome. It's not that much worse in terms of like handling, reload speed, and aim assist, but it also has ridiculously good range and stability. And I think that's where it's just sort of not the best of all worlds, but it's like the best of one world and still pretty good in the other. So.
Mm-hmm. As for aim assist, because it is very important on hand cannons, and all hand cannons have a lot of it. That's something you also need to keep in mind, right? Like, even a low aim assist hand cannon still has very generous aim assist. But it's got 75, which isn't terrible. You know, you've got Fatebringer up there with, like, 84.
Yeah.
You've got Palindrome with 79. And then, of course, you've got stuff like Dire Promise with 85 or Spare Rations with 92. So, obviously, the old 150s have more. And then Recoil Direction is 95. Pretty much all hand cannons have great recoil direction. Every once in a while, you'll get a weird one that comes in. Like, I, as Luna in D1, had like 60 recoil direction. And people loved it because they thought that the horizontal movement actually allowed you to see your target better. I was not one of those people, but there was a vocal subset of the population that thought that was a benefit to have low recoil direction. But pretty much all of them have between 85 and 100. So, and then the mag size is actually a little on the smaller side. It says it's 9 in the API. Is for some reason I feel like that's probably the API being inaccurate. I think it might actually be 10.
It's probably 10, yeah. I don't have a new one to compare.
No, it actually looks like it is 9.
Oh. So that definitely hurts the case for Judgment.
All right, so that's actually pretty low for Yeah, that's actually pretty low for an adaptive. There's only one other adaptive that has 9, and it's the old fashioned. Almost all of them have between 10, and some of them have as high as 13.
Okay, well, so there it is stat-wise. I'd say it's a pretty middle-of-the-road adaptive in terms of overall stats. It's not necessarily awful in any category, but it really doesn't do anything to stand out either.
No, it doesn't. So if we want to go look at perks, how are you feeling about range versus stability, that debate right now on hand cannons? I mean, I was pro range for a long time, and now I'm almost feeling the same way I do with shotguns, where like as long as I get one good range perk, I'm almost cool just dumping the rest of it into stability. And that's coming from a controller player, obviously, but it's almost gotten to that point with me where it's like the difference between a max range and a min range judgment, because range got compressed so hard. On a 140, I'm almost like, well, I might as well just use a 120 at this point in time. If I really want that much range, I'd much rather go stability and try to make the gun feel as good as I can. But I'm aware that might not be the most popular opinion.
No, I would largely agree with you. I mean, I don't want a tank range by any means. But I don't feel a particular need to max it out in the same way that I might once have. You know, so like I'm not going to go with steady rounds. Stability at the expense of range, I don't think is a good trade-off, unless, you know, you happen to pair it with, I don't even know what gives it a lot of range. There's not really any sights that would give it range without also tanking stability. So you know, if you end up with sure shot as your best option, then I guess steady rounds evens it out and you end up a little ahead on both, but you hurt your handling. So that sucks. Cause you don't want to tank handling either with a hand cannon. You're likely to be wanting to swap pretty quickly, at need to your shotgun, which I'm sure is what you're running in the energy slot. Probably Fell Winters. Let's just be honest with each other. So, you know, I like fast draw, because it gives a nice big buff to, both stability and handling. I like steady hand for much the same reason. True sight is fine because it's just like a little bit of everything. Really any sight that doesn't tank stats is probably fine in my opinion. I would favor stability and handling over range, but that might depend on what else you get, right?
Yeah, I'm almost at the point with this where I'm like, just give me a range masterwork and let me free my perks up to do other work, right? Because I agree with you. I 100% yeah. would prefer stability and handling in the sight slot. You know, I wouldn't say no to something like hit mark, but it's just plus 4 range. And at that point, it's like, well, just give me true sight because that's plus 2 range, plus 3 handling, plus 3 stability. But those are such small numbers that it's really like, you know, steady hand gives you plus 10 handling, plus 10 stability. That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
And then fast draw gives you plus 14 handling, plus 5 stability. That's also pretty nice. I'd almost just say go with fast draw or steady hand and hope you get a range masterwork. Because, you know, the other perks, like the traits, can kind of make up for a little bit of a lack of range. And you can also get accurized rounds in the mag slot, but with how low the magazine is, I got to say that stuff like a pendant mag, tactical mag, flared magwell has a lot more utility on a gun like this than it maybe would if the gun already had 10 or 11 or 12 rounds in the magazine.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. You know, if I had a stability masterwork, am I going to be too upset about accurized rounds if I like the rest of the gun? No, I think that's a good pairing. But, you know, I'd rather end up with a range masterwork and be able to run tactical mag, possibly flared magwell if that was what I got. You know, if I can't have more bullets, I at least want more reload speed.
The tactical mag is a really good option. It brings your magazine size up to 10. It gives you a little bit of stability and it gives you a little bit of reload speed. Those are like all kind of things that the gun needs. So I really like tactical mag. We already talked about a pendant mag earlier, brings it up to 11. You know, steady rounds exist, but it's basically going to neutralize any range benefit that you got from a barrel perk. So it's a lot of times we talk about like, oh, small bore steady rounds is like a good pairing because you get a ton of stability and you still end up positive on the range. In this case, something like steady rounds and sure shot is almost like a net wash on both of them, where it's like, oh, this just kind of sucks. You still end up slightly ahead, but you could end up much more ahead if you just got two perks that didn't have such strong drawbacks to them.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. So the only time when maybe I'm not, when maybe I might prefer flared magwell over tactical mag, depending on what I roll in my final trade slot. You know, if I'm chasing, just to jump ahead a little bit, if I'm chasing multi-kill clip, I'm going to want to load more reload speed. Because this gun doesn't have a super good reload perk that you can use to trigger multi-kill clip right now. The only reload perk it really has is alloy magazine, but the mag has to be empty to use that. It's super fast, but that's just a big ask, right? You're never going to be on your last bullet, and you don't want to have to shoot a couple of bullets and then reload. It's just like wasting time.
I mean, or you could use ensemble in trade slot one, but that's like kind of a big waste of a trait when there's a lot of other much better stuff in that slot.
Yeah, I mean, ensemble is definitely powerful. I think we've talked about it before. It's one of those perks where if you have it, the gun is probably going to feel pretty good as long as you've got a friend around.
It's a very nice passive perk.
Right. Definitely encourages team shooting as well, which is, you know, sometimes a good thing to remind people to do. But that said, yeah, there's a lot of, not a lot, but there are some decent choices in trade slot one that are worth considering.
You have tunnel vision, which is like the pairing with multi-kill clip. Tunnel vision is very, very good with that. That's a fantastic Iron Banner sixes roll right there. Tunnel vision, multi-kill clip. You've got moving target, which if you pair moving target and opening shot in trade slot two, that's a dueling gun right there. Moving target and opening shot is going to feel so good, so crisp. And if you don't get moving target, well, you can get slide shot. And slide shot's going to boost your range and stability, and it's going to give you a little bit of a reload. And that is also a great dueling option. So those last three perks right there are fantastic. And then you've also got Encore, which we've talked about Encore before. And we're like, well, it does provide like a pretty okay bonus, but the bonus that I actually care about comes on non-precision final blows. And it's like, well, it's nice when I get that, but it's still, again, it's a fail state perk. Like, I'm not a huge fan of it, you know? So I feel like I'm thinking way too much about that damn perk when I have it, and I should be just like playing the game.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, you know, the more I've thought about Encore on a hand cannon, I think it might be all right, because if you're landing your precision kills, great, you're just going to get more range. The problem is, though, that you don't then have a steady like engagement distance that you can work within, right? You have to be mentally adapting to the fact that your engagement distance is actually expanding as you play. I wish it just gave you bonus accuracy and stability, because I can always use that, and then my range doesn't change randomly. Right. So
we said this before, but wouldn't it be so much better if it was just like all kills gave accuracy and stability, but precision kills also gave range? Because then it's like, then it's a really good perk.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like that it's like this or that, but it's, I don't know. It's probably a pretty decent perk if you're not hitting your crits, honestly.
But only if you haven't hit your crits prior to that.
Right.
Because a non-precision kill doesn't actually give you accuracy and stability until it removes all your stacks of range.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, it's just, I'm not really a fan of it.
It might be a good pairing with multi-kill clip, but I feel like tunnel vision is probably better.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Because you know what you're getting. Anyway, let's move on from that, because there's also a great PvE combination on this gun that I have to mention, because somebody will call us out, I think, if we don't. And that is Demolitionist and Osmosis. Now, you can also go Demolitionist Adrenaline Junkie, which is all well and good, but I think Osmosis gives you a ton more utility, right? Because it actually makes this an energy weapon. And when you pair it with Demolitionist, you can get just massive, massive play out of it. Right. So Demolitionist, again, just a reminder for anybody maybe newer to the game, kills with this weapon, generate grenade energy, activating your grenade ability reloads this weapon from reserves. So this is a primary weapon, so every kill is going to grant something like 10% of your grenade energy. The grenade usage to reload it does have a 3-second cooldown. Unlikely to run into that, although it is possible with certain egregious hunter builds. But yeah, Osmosis paired with that, I think is just a phenomenal, phenomenal combination. If you're looking for a great kinetic weapon to take into content where you need to play match game.
Also, though, Adrenaline Junkie, they have said they're going to buff it. We don't know what they're going to do to it. So if you get an Adrenaline Junkie roll, it may be worth holding on to just It's not like it's horrible now. It's just not great. So whatever buff they do to it is probably going to make it at least good. So, you know, hold on to that Adrenaline Junkie roll. People talk about Adagio a lot. Basically, the way you can look at Adagio is that, like, it generally, and this is general, this is not exact, but it generally shifts the weapon to the performance of the archetype below it in terms of rate of fire. So it generally makes this gun, it's a 140 normally, it pretty much makes it perform like a little bit better 120 is what it does. So the rate of fire is a like kind of a little bit slower than that, but it's close enough to 120 to not really matter. And it does a little bit more damage than a 120, but functionally it's basically just a 120.
Yeah.
So if you are okay with your hand cannon hopping archetypes in between kills, then that's one thing. Personally, I don't really much like it on a hand cannon because I'm using a 140 for a reason. If I wanted the performance of a 120, I would just use a 120. The stuff that I like Adagio the most on actually is stuff that it changes it entirely to something that is totally new. Like I think Adagio is pretty funny on high impact stuff that's already the highest impact because it basically shifts it into an entirely new archetype that does just a ton of damage. On Wolftone Draw on the bow, it's pretty neat. On Iota Draconis on the fusion rifle, it's pretty neat. I mean, if there was a, you know, if there was an Adagio on a messenger or something, I think it'd probably be pretty funny.
Yeah, that'd be cool to experiment with. Okay, well, that's Judgment in a nutshell. I don't think we left anything out worth mentioning.
No, we can totally move on to the Last Breath. Let me pull up the stats right here. So this is an auto rifle, which means that it pretty much is not the most popular right now. And in addition to being an auto rifle, it is the adaptive archetype, which means it has to go up against Scathelock, which we've already talked about. Scathelock just with massive, massive amounts of range. It's another one of those sneaky guns like Timeworn Spire that has a high zoom scope. They can actually just push the range out way further than you think it should really be functional at. But it also has to compete with, you know, Gnawing Hunger, which Gnawing Hunger has pretty much for the longest time been the most popular 600 RPM auto rifle. So if you're looking at stats here, they're okay. I mean, adaptives in general feel pretty all right. They suffer from kind of below average range and average to below average stability. And the Last Breath is really no exception. It's got a 48 range. It's kind of a little on the... I don't even know how to describe it. Like, it's kind of a little on the middle, except for you've got Aether Doctor sitting down there at like 38 range out of nowhere because Bungie was just like, fuck this gun's range. It's going to be terrible. But I think Gnawing Hunger is the best in the archetype at 53. For stability, you've got 49, which is pretty par for the course. I mean, that's actually kind of on the higher end, but it's a very, very small window. I think they all pretty much go between 40 and 49, so it's not like there's a huge difference. Handling is pretty good up at 70, but again, they're all between, I think it's 61 and 73. And really, we shouldn't even be talking about 61 because it's Aether Doctor, right? Like anytime we talk about the lowest stat total in the archetype, it's freaking Aether Doctor because they just like massacred its stats and it's shitty at everything. It literally has the worst stats in its archetype across the board. So you know what? I'm not even going to talk about Aether Doctor. I'm going to delete that out of the spreadsheet right now. So we don't have to talk about it anymore. Perfect. There we go. Now it's better. for aim assist, it's got 67 aim assist, which is pretty okay. You know, you've got the forward path up at 71. That's on the high end. And then you've got the summoner actually on the low end at 62. And then recoil direction. Recoil direction is always, for some reason, very bad on adaptives. It's in at 56. You've got some as low as 47. You've got others that are just as high as 60. And then mag size doesn't really matter, but it's at 43. They're all between 41 and 44. So,
yeah. So the last breath definitely has a, like, if we look at it just for PvP purposes, if you really wanted to use an adaptive auto rifle, which is obviously not the meta right now, right? Just flat out, even Scathelock, which cheats and has 2.0 zoom, to just give it like two free perks worth of benefits. It's still just not competitive against the weapons that are good right now. So the last breath has a hard time in PvP, especially the higher up the skill range you go, right? If you're a pretty casual PvP player, and you play a lot of other pretty casual PvP players, you can get away with a lot. You can use pretty much anything you want to and probably have a good time. And so the last breath, I don't want to say is like a bad gun per se, but it's out of favor in the meta, and it's not going to be competitive. Perk-wise, these guns, I think, need a lot of help. I almost don't even want to worry about the recoil direction because it just feels like too much work to try to make it better. And I'd rather just pile stability on as much as possible. That said, if you do get arrowhead break, it fixes the recoil direction entirely. It does mean that you can't, say, have polygonal rifling, which is a nice +9 stability bonus, which the gun also needs. You know, so I feel like there's some real trade-offs in the barrel department. Those are probably the two that I would chase. And I would very much hope for a stability masterwork as well, just to make it a little easier to handle.
Yeah. Trying to think how I did this. So I put about 5,000 kills on an adaptive auto rifle a couple metas ago. I used the Galliard 42 before it was Sunset. And I found that there are kind of two ways you can go about improving the recoil direction. I found that one way is if you can get the recoil direction to about 85, then you can kind of do all right with maybe just like one stability perk. Because the recoil is not going to be great, but the recoil direction is going to be easy enough to where you can kind of pretty much just neutralize it with down pressure, right? So that's what I did on the Galliard. I used a mod to get the recoil direction up higher, and then I used ricochet rounds, which obviously you posted this on Twitter today, but ricochet rounds is just like pretty much universally the best magazine perk that's available. So used ricochet rounds, and I got my stability up to just like right around 60, and I increased the zoom a little bit, and I was pretty much golden. The other alternative is if you can get the stability up over 80 and you can do like maybe anything for recoil direction, like at, you know, at 55, like if you just get chamber compensator and then you get the stability up around 80, well, that's probably gonna be okay too. So those are kind of the two ways I try to do it. And, you know, basically what you have to do is, in order to get the stability up around 80, you're gonna need chamber compensator, which is +9. You need ricochet rounds, which is +9. You need a stability masterwork, which is +9, and that'll get you up to about 76. So you'll end up with 66 recoil direction, 76 stability. It's probably about as good as you're going to get it. And then, you know, really you're going to want something like Rangefinder, which increases the effective range and increases the zoom. That helps with stability, and probably dynamic sway reduction, yeah, or maybe like slide shot.
Yeah, I think be a fan of dynamic sway reduction on this gun. It's got a big enough magazine that you can pre-fire most of your encounters to get that bonus revved up. And if you compare it with Rangefinder, which just gives you a bonus out of the gate, then it's probably pretty okay in the stability department. And then you've just got to worry about landing your shots in time to kill. Actually, the best response to that Ricochet Rounds tweet was, stop worrying so much about range and stability. Just land your shots.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Let me use mag size to help me land my shots, right?
Yeah. Yep. So I just need to max handling my shots and I'll be okay.
Can't even max handling with mag perks. The only options you have are range, stability, mag size and reload size. Oh. And mag perks.
Alloy magazine, then all the way. I'm just going to empty the gun every time. Yeah. So I feel that, chambered compensator is a super solid pick on this gun. I think basically what you said is the go-to for PvP. If you're going to use this gun in PvP, stability masterwork, chambered comp, ricochet rounds, dynamic sway reduction, range finder. Just had to say it once more so that somebody transcribing this can get it down. And then I do want to again call attention to that great PvE combo that's also present here, Osmosis plus Demolitionist. It's available. It feels great. Demolitionist plus Adrenaline Junkie is also a solid option to have. And then I like Subsistence plus Frenzy as a combination as well. One for all and Subsistence also works out pretty well. But because you're spreading your damage out before you kill them, you're potentially not getting the full benefit of Subsistence. I think Frenzy's the better perk overall, regardless. So that's what I would want to pair it with.
I have heard an argument made that in high level content, the higher damage bonus of one for all can be helpful when you purposefully hit three targets so that you can focus higher damage on one. So there is a use case for it. I think there's probably exactly two places where you can use that. It's Grandmaster Nightfalls and Master Vault of Glass. And that's pretty much it. Outside of that, not a fan. Don't really like Adagio a ton on this. It basically makes the gun feel like one of the high impacts like Crusher or Mellow. But with the stats of the adaptive, which means better stability, but worse range. And again, it's like, well, I'd kind of much rather just use a Crusher or Mellow that I've statted out the way I wanted to. So I'm not the biggest fan of it. I don't necessarily hate it. I think it's going to come down. I mean, it's like kill-based focus fire is pretty much what it is. If you liked focus fire in D1, but you hated having to ADS to get it and you really wish that you could just have it half the time, like after you get a kill, then Adagio is probably the perk for you. But I've got to go rangefinder all the way for PvP. Rangefinder and dynamic sway reduction, rangefinder and slide shot are really the only two things I'm looking for PvP. Killing wins okay, but there's not really a ton of kill-based perks in trade slot 2. So to me, it just feels like a little bit of a waste.
Yep. Well, I think we've covered all the combos there for the last breath. So let's move on to the sidearms. And we've got a swift verdict coming in for the sidearms. And it is just a pretty gun. I just really like the model. Actually, for all of these guns, they're all really good looking. But a swift verdict, I feel like a lot of sidearms are just kind of ugly. They feel very squashed. And a swift verdict just looks super crisp.
Yeah, it is a very attractive. They're all very attractive weapons. The Trials of the Nine, everything. The armor was beautiful. The weapons were beautiful. The aesthetic of the maps was beautiful. Which we don't have any Trials of the Nine PvP maps anymore, do we?
No, sadly we don't. I miss them. I know some people don't. But I really enjoyed... like you said, just the aesthetic of them. It was something that was completely different.
So sadly, a swift verdict, and some people are going to fight me on this. I know it for a fact, but, sadly, I'm not really a fan of swift verdict, pretty much at all. I am not the biggest fan of sidearms to begin with. But I do love the aggressive burst in their own way. I like a lot of the adaptives, like Drang. I shouldn't say a lot of the adaptives. I like Drang.
Yep.
And I like Traveler's Chosen are the adaptives I like. And I guess technically Devil's Ruin when you're using it and it's non-charged up firing mode is an adaptive. I like the adaptive burst ones. I like the Suros Rapid Fires. The two that I like the least are probably the lightweights and the precisions. But I can say for the lightweights, I have seen people absolutely massacre me with a lightweight sidearm before. I do not remember the last time I saw anyone use a precision sidearm. I can't recall. Think of these names. Think of the last time you remember. Enigma's Draw, Lonesome, Vestian Dynasty, and a Swift Verdict. When is the last time you saw any one of those in any content at all?
Yeah. Can't recall. It's just one of those archetypes where it's like, if Sidearm's got a buff of some kind, it could be quite good. But that's not, at the very least, that's not in the cards right now, right? We've heard no rumblings that they feel like Sidearms need to be brought up. Much to my chagrin.
We've heard the opposite.
As I continue to die on that hill.
Chris has said that he thought that Sidearms were very close to being, like, they're on the cusp of, like, yeah, I know a lot of people don't use them, but I think if we buffed them even a little bit, people would discover how good they are, and they would become a menace, kind of like they were in the tail end of D1 when all the special weapons got nerfed.
Yeah, no, it's true, right? If they threw, like, just a little more damage or some better stability or aim assist onto Sidearms, or heck, just gave them a range buff to be competitive with SMGs, it would be devastating to a lot of players' strategies. I feel like hand cannons and shotguns would really, really be in trouble. They're very good right now. I don't know that they're competitive, but they're right there. And then they're just, they don't get seen. They aren't super, there's not a lot of them that come out that are really, like, big hype weapons. And the ones that do, by and large, like, the time to kill, the optimal is not achievable, right? Like, Peace Bond, 0.5 seconds optimal if you land 6 crits. It's achievable, but in the real world, it doesn't happen a lot. You're typically 3 bursting.
Which is why you need Harmony. Harmony makes the 2 burst achievable.
Yeah.
Give me a damn Harmony roll, Lord Saladin. Come on, man.
Yeah. One day.
I don't have a good Time Worn Spire or a good Peace Bond roll, despite the fact that I play Iron Banner religiously when it comes out. I play it nonstop. I have garbage rolls of both guns.
Well, we should talk about a Swift Verdict, though. We've talked around a Swift Verdict pretty considerably.
Does anyone care about a Swift Verdict? All right, so stat-wise, it's a 0.7 second optimal TTK. Needs 4 shots. 3 of those have to be shot. TTK is 1.17 seconds. Both of those TTKs are not good for Sidearms. They're quite bad. I want to be able to say that the TTK is more forgiving, but it's not really comparatively when you have aggressive bursts underneath. And now aggressive bursts have terrible range, like functional range, but they're extremely forgiving where their body shot TTK is 0.83 seconds with basically all body shots. So they're not even really that forgiving comparatively to other Sidearms, which I think is the reason why they don't see a ton of use. Slow TTK and not super forgiving equals not a ton of people are going to use them.
Yep. And that's, I can't toot the horn of the aggressive bursts enough. I love those guns. You just don't have to think. But you do have to think a lot when you use a Swift Verdict. It's got, as do all of the precisions, phenomenal range. 55, which is basically par for the course. The only standout there is Lonesome, which came from Reckoning at 62. Swift Verdict has 46 stability, which is on the higher end for this class. The low is 42, Vesting Dynasty. The high is 48, which is the other two. It's got 43 handling, which is on the higher end. The highest is 44, Vesting Dynasty. They're all going to have pretty fast handling because they're sidearms, regardless of the stats. 32 reload speed, which is the highest. 85 aim assist, which is actually the lowest. The high is 90 for Vesting Dynasty. The other two have 86. 85 is still a lot of aim assist, though. And 95 recoil direction, which is just perfectly vertical. Can't argue with that. They all have 12 in the mag. So really the takeaway is stat-wise, not a lot to write home about here. It's a pretty par for the course precision sidearm. Not doing anything special. And
even with the high range, like the effective range for these sidearms is like 15 meters. Even if you max range out, you're getting like 17 meters. And then I guess if you slap range finder on it, you can get up to 18 and a half. But my whole point is like, just use P-Spawn. P-Spawn hits that same distance and is a way easier sidearm to use and has the potential to kill way faster. So in my opinion, I don't think you're well served by trying to max range on these guns. I think you're much, much better off going for stability and handling. And we just talked about judgment with this, and it's weird. We're going to recommend almost the exact same, you know, rolls, but the thing is like, take a control, which is +9 handling, +9 stability. Take a quick dot, +14 handling, +4 stability. Either one of those is going to serve you, I think, better with whatever you're pairing it with. Yeah. Maybe probably a sniper. Realistically, I think the most common pairing for sidearms is paired with a sniper or paired with some other long range primary, like potentially a scout rifle or something like that.
Yeah, I'll pair them with pulse rifles a lot. I really like to use weapons that have the same like firing style. So that it, just to keep my muscle memory on point, so I don't have to think when I pull the trigger. But I'm always using burst sidearms with pulse rifles because it makes sense. So anyway, yeah, I would agree with all of that. And the second trait slot, I mean, ricochet rounds is always an easy recommend. Range and stability are always good. But on this gun, you're not getting a ton out of the range like we talked about. The stability is always nice to maintain your aim assist. But I would strongly consider flared magwell as an option here. I think it's very, very strong on this particular weapon because we're not trying to be a different sidearm, right? We're not going to have the best range necessarily. But what we can do is lean into some of the really great perks we have in those trait columns. For example, tunnel vision and kill clip. Not multi-kill clip, the real deal. So that is a super, super powerful combination. If you can get this gun going, I mean, you can keep killing them as long as they keep running towards you. You just have to get it going in the first place.
It actually pops the damage up to 75 on crits and 50 on bodies. So you can 2-crit, 1 Oof. Body, and 0.47 seconds with this gun with kill clip. And so the only thing, that roll is good enough to me to where it basically is the only thing that I would want on this gun. I'm not going to try to max the range. I don't, you know, I'm not the biggest PvE player, so I don't care as much about surround or anything. And I'm not really entirely sure that sidearms have much of a place in PvE anyways. But for me, flared magwell, tunnel vision, kill clip is enough of a draw to where I want one of these guns just because I want to be able to take it into Iron Banner and basically 3-tap people with a sidearm and just annihilate people. Because that is a time to kill that you don't see much. Since Recluse got nerfed, you hardly ever see sub half-second times to kill. Terabot, I think, is probably the most common example of it right now. But on primary weapons, that's almost unheard of.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, honestly, that's really the only role worth mentioning here. I can't imagine there's a lot of call for weapons with a 15-meter range in Grandmasters. And certainly, there are raids where you can just take whatever you want to and be successful if you have a good team. But even then, you could just use your kill clip one and just use it for ad clear, and it's going
to
be fine.
I think maybe Disruption Break would have some benefit to it since it, you know, increases the vulnerability to kinetic damage. But would you really want to be using a sidearm as your energy, like, especially not right now when fusions are as powerful as they are?
Yeah, there's so many powerful options in the energy slot that have more than 15 meters of range. I just can't imagine that this is a choice that you would make. But you know what? Some people like to go out and challenge themselves. So if you do, I'm going to trust that you know how to make the right decisions.
Challenge it would be. But I think that's probably it for a swift verdict. We can move on to the long walk, which is the aggressive sniper rifle from the Prophecy Dungeon. Another beautiful, just absolutely gorgeous model.
Really is.
I don't know that there's a ton of people that are using this over the current, I guess, most popular options, which are Frozen Orbit and... Oh, shoot, the name of the other one is escaping me right now.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank.
Adored. Should have been really easy. Adored and Iosol.
Oh, yeah. I never pay attention to snipers. I just try to avoid lanes and I don't get killed by them that much.
So. Frozen Orbit, Adored, Isol are the three most common ones right now. But the Long Walk isn't terrible by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, it's got all the perks that you really look for on a sniper rifle. And being that it's an aggressive, all of the stats are shit, but they're always shit. So it doesn't really matter.
Right? Yep. Like
every gun across the board here, with the exception of Occluded Finality, which has just some weird, funky stuff going on. They're all pretty bad, but we can talk about. So the rate of fire is 72, which means there's 0.83 seconds in between shots. It is the only one of the snipers that natively has the ability to crit shot supers through the damage reduction. The range is 80, which is pretty high, but even the lowest range aggressive sniper is 73, so it's not a huge difference. The stability is terrible, but they're all terrible. It's got 28. That is the lowest stability out of the bunch, but the highest one only has 36, and that's Occluded Finality. The handling is not bad for an aggressive. It's at 35. They all range between 30 and 37, so it's a little bit on the higher end there. The reload speed is actually pretty good for an aggressive. It's at 41. The highest is 42. The lowest is Bite of the Fox down at 32. The inventory, not that it matters a ton, but it's at 41, which is kind of middle of the path. Occluded Finality has a crazy inventory stat of 59. I think that accounts to one or two extra bullets in PvE if you're maxed out. The aim assist is okay at 48. The highest is 49. The lowest is 41, so it's on the high end. Mag size is 3. Zoom is 50, which is right in the middle. It means it neither benefits nor gets hurt by those zoom aim assist changes they made a little while back. So it's right in the middle. It's a nice, comfortable zoom. I think 50 is an okay level. But it's not going to have the crazy aim assist magnetism that Occluded Finality has up at 58.
Well, you know, I think there's a couple of different things that jump out to me about this gun, looking at the perks. And I always want to do these guns backwards because the exciting perks are always at the end. But, you know, with most snipers, I'm typically looking for Fluted Barrel just for the big handling buff. Because that's about the best you can get out of a barrel. The only time that would be different is if this was a super low range sniper, but it's not. So basically, that's my choice. Arrowhead Break is also pretty decent with plus 9 handling bonus. The biggest thing is just don't tank your handling, right? If you can't get one of those two, it's not really a game breaker because it just doesn't matter that much if you're taking this into PvE. If this is your PvP sniper, then maybe it does matter that much and you want to try to farm for that Fluted Barrel.
Yeah. As far as taking into PvE, yeah, it's like stability doesn't matter a ton. I mean, stability, I guess, matters a little bit if you're trying to hit a boss crit spot, but everybody's got Divinity now, so it's not really super hard to do it anymore. So stability doesn't really matter. Range literally matters not at all. This thing basically has unlimited range. Handling just makes it feel good, so I got to prioritize handling even for PvE. You could also do corkscrew rifling just for the plus 5, but I think it's really imperative that you try to get a handling masterwork if you can. As far as mags go, I mean, for PvP, the honest truth is like none of them really matter at all. You know, like ricochet rounds is the nicest, but plus 9 stability is going to do basically nothing for this gun. Plus 4 range is probably going to do even less. Flared magwell to reload faster. It's like, okay, if you have enough ammo to reload faster, I guess that matters. I really think just go for a pendant mag, because then at least it's useful in PvE. If you decide to take it in, maybe you can get one roll that you kind of like a little bit in both, although the perks are pretty different between the two. But a pendant mag at least kicks it up to 4 without hurting reload speed. I mean, what's your other option? Is just alloy mag?
So the other option actually that I would throw out is extended mag may be worth it on this gun. Because a pendant mag plus a backup mag won't get you over 4 in the magazine. But extended mag will. It gives you enough of a bonus that when you throw on a backup mag, you can get up to 5 in the magazine. And then you're just going to have to try to make up the difference with by either running ensemble in that first trait slot. Using this in a damage phase, you're always going to be close to somebody. So you can get a nice 40 reload speed bonus, which more than makes up for the minus 9 penalty from extended. You could run slide shot, I guess, to reload it. Kind of really inconvenient.
Wouldn't work well for boss DPS, though.
Yeah. Clown cartridge is another decent option if you manage to get lucky. going into the phase, but I think Ensemble is the strongest choice for a DPS phase by far.
So Overflow will work pretty well if you aren't using your sniper at all until the boss phase.
Oh, I missed Overflow. So I didn't see that. Overflow will work. Overflow is a great choice for
my
boss damage.
My choice is probably going to be, I would probably go with a Pendant Mag just because I don't want to tank the reload, because you're going to be reloading during those boss phases. And I mean, I know if you've got a well or something like that, like you might be able to get away with it. And in which case, totally fine. You know your raid group better than, you know, we do. You do you. Extended, but if you run extended, you pretty much have to run backup mag in the mod slot, which I guess, I mean, are there really any other mods that you're going to want to run for PvE? I know for PvP, people love Icarus, but for PvE, is there really even another? I mean, I guess you'd want to run boss spec, right? So that's the trade-off.
Yeah. If you got a pended mag, you can run boss spec.
So I'd go a pended mag, boss spec. I'd probably go either overflow or clown cartridge. Clown cartridge procs like 50% of the time. So it's pretty nice. You're almost always guaranteed to get one, sometimes two extra bullets. And then firing line is really, really good for PvE. For PvP, I mean, I guess Ensemble, so that maybe you get some bonus handling when you're near your teammates. Maybe Killing Wind, so that you can have a better feeling gun after a kill. I mean, the only real perks that are good for PvP, it's got Quick Draw, which is okay now. Snapshot Sights, I think most people consider the tier one perk for snipers. I'm actually going to go with Moving Target, and I'm going to try to max handling on my Masterwork and on my barrel. It's just, I think there's a reason it doesn't see a lot of use in PvP. It's just not really a great PvP sniper.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Now that I'm somehow seeing Overflow, I feel like my choice here would probably be a Pended Mag, Overflow, Firing Line. And then I really don't care about the barrel if I get those three. Throw on a boss spec. Maybe get a reload speed masterwork. And even a stability masterwork, I wouldn't be upset about at all. I've got so many shots, I might need it.
Yeah.
At that point, I might want stability in my barrel. So that really kind of frees you up to be okay with just about anything else that you get.
Yeah. And speaking of anything else that you get, I guess that brings us to the last weapon for tonight, which is a sudden death, which is an aggressive shotgun. It's an arc shotgun. Aggressive shotguns are pretty slow firing, 55 rate of fire. They shoot one shot every 1.10 seconds. They are kind of pretty much entirely overshadowed by the fact that Felwinter's Lie still exists. And Felwinter's Lie is just the best out of all of them, hand down. And so it's pretty much the only one in the energy slot that really sees any use. Even after so many nerfs, still one of the most popular guns in PvP in Destiny 2, which is crazy to me. But if we're going to go over the stats, it does have 32 range compared to Felwinter's. Felwinter's comes out of the box at 36. It's got 33 stability. That matters basically not at all. I can't imagine stability ever mattering for a gun that fires once every second, or a little bit more than every second. Handling is okay at 32. Felwinter's is a little higher at 40. I actually think Found Verdict from the Vault of Glass has the highest at 45. 32 is pretty bad. It's the lowest out of all the aggressives. Reload speed is 39. The highest would be Felwinter's at 47. It's actually not the lowest, but it's pretty close by. I think Last Man Standing from Reckoning, which nobody even uses anymore, had a 38 reload speed. Inventory is 38, which is kind of a little on the high end. They're all between 33 and 40. The aim assist, which doesn't really matter a ton, but the aim assist is 30. The lowest is Last Man Standing at 26. The highest is Found Verdict at 37. And then the mag size is 4, which is pretty typical. So aggressives just across the board have pretty much shit stats. And it doesn't really stack up to the good ones, which are Found Verdict and Felwinter's Lie. And it doesn't, you know, it's not in the kinetic slot. That's the one place it would stand a chance. And it's not in the kinetic slot. So it kind of just doesn't. I'm not entirely sure that too many people are going to be like, I'm going to put down my Felwinter's Lie for a sudden death.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tough one to sell. I mean, if somehow you don't have a Felwinter's Lie, you should get it. But if you don't feel like it and you have sudden death, you want to use it. The role I would go for is probably full choke, assault mag, slide shot, probably snapshot sights for PvP. Because the perk choices are just not great for PvP. Maybe you can make an argument that you're going to try to take down a super with 1-2 punch, but I just see that being a really terrible decision that ends badly for you 99% of the time. So, yeah, I think that's what I would roll with in PvP if I had to use
full
this choke, gun.
Ack round, slide shot, snapshot sides. There's basically like no other option, really, for
assault mag.
But
not
for traits and for the barrel.
I take that over accuracy.
Yeah, I mean, it gives you about an extra half meter if you run with accurized rounds. I think it gives you about an extra half meter over the top. So
I'd rather shoot faster.
Yeah,
I think.
It brings the time between shots from 1.10 seconds to 1.0, which is, you know, it's not insignificant. It actually makes quite a difference. A tenth of a second change in TTK is a substantial change. So if you were to miss your first shot or you needed a follow-up shot, assault mag definitely is the way to go. But
if you've got a second person there to kill.
But in terms of the barrel and the traits, there's really only the one option, full choke, slide shot, snapshot sights, and that's it. Now for PvE, there's some more options. It's got frenzy, which is pretty good. It's got 1-2 punch, which is obviously a good tools to use against yellow bars and champions and stuff like that. It's got surrounded, which is pretty good. It's actually a fairly decent PvE shotgun, I feel like. I just don't know that the slow firing shotguns see a ton of use in PvE. I feel like the rapid fires have always been more useful there. And I feel like given the current season's perk options or mod options, fusion rifles have kind of just blown past them in terms of usefulness.
Yeah. Fusions are super strong right now. There's a role I'd like to put into my vault for a rainy day, and that's Grave Robber 1-2 Punch. I've always wanted to see those two perks together on a shotgun, and maybe I've missed it, but I think this is the first time that I have seen it. It's at least the first time in recent memory, and I just feel like that's a combination that begs for me to try to force it to work in the game. I think it's a combination that would probably get me killed a lot, but I just want to do it. I want to punch
things.
There's
a couple other fun sounding combos. I like the combo of threat detector and surrounded, especially for something like Gambit where you're just like constantly in the middle of enemies. That's going to be pretty nice for you. You're basically going to have a super good feeling gun because threat detector is very generous in terms of its close by range. And surrounded, like you're using a shotgun, what do you think you're going to be doing? Like you're going to be within, you know, 6 meters of someone pretty much at all times. So surrounded and threat detector seems pretty fun. I also got to give a shout out to field prep and pulse monitor. Field prep basically means if you're sliding and reloading, like you're going to reload super, super fast while you're doing that, which is very helpful for the 1x1 reload that shotguns do. And then pulse monitor, just whenever you're critically wounded, it pretty much just puts shots back in the magazine for you and gives you better handling, even if the weapon is stowed, right? So in PvE, you can be critically wounded pretty regularly without fear of dying. And this is a very useful tool for that, especially for something like frenzy, right? Because, you know, frenzy and pulse monitor can basically proc when you don't even have the gun out. And then you can pull the gun out and they're both useful for you.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the other combination that I wanted to maybe mention as something that would be genuinely useful in PvE. I think threat detector surrounded is perhaps the strongest choice, but pulse monitor frenzy is a great combination as well.
All right, well, guys, I think that is it for the prophecy weapons. There's some pretty good ones in there, even the weapons that aren't necessarily so great. I think there's at least one role that I'd be really excited to have on them. So I think that's it for this week. We're going to be coming back to you this upcoming Monday with Season 3 of Star Wars Rebels and Beneath Twin Suns. Really looking forward to that. Going to be recording it Sunday night, so keep an eye out. And other than that, I guess we'll see you next week. Bye.
Peace.